And so that is the first point. That first slide says baptism has nothing to do with you being righteous, holy, and redeemed. Now, why should I be baptized? If it really has nothing to do with my salvation, why should I do it to begin with? Well, let me give you three reasons. Number one, it's simply to follow the example set by Christ. Follow the example set by Christ. You know the story about where John the Baptist baptized him, and of course, John said, you know, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoes or whatever, and he said, you want me to baptize you? He said, that's exactly right. But Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, basically tells us a little bit about that baptism. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Rebecca, I believe that God's pleased with you through Jesus, but he's, I think, maybe just a little bit more pleased because you're following him in baptism. And the Bible says when Jesus was baptized that a dove came down. And so you'll notice on the slides, we put a little dove up there just to kind of symbolize that. And the second reason we should be baptized, not only to follow his example, but kind of to take this a little bit deeper, because Christ asked us to follow his example. It's just simply he asked us to do that. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, for you that have been raised in an evangelical church knows that Matthew 19 and 20 are simply our marching orders as far as going to the nations, going to share. This happened right before Christ ascended. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it also says, and this was the same time frame, there were different accounts being told of what happened right before Jesus ascended after his resurrection. But he said in Acts 1, 8, he said, go therefore to your Jerusalem, that's right where they were. Go to your Samaria, that's people that they hated. The Jews hated Samaritans. Basically, it says go to people you don't like. Tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. You put your differences aside, is what he's trying to say. And then go to Judea, which was further out, and then the ends of the earth. And so many have adopted a strategy that your Jerusalem is your local community, your Samaria might be people that you don't like, but also it could be the state, and then the Judea could be the United States, the ends of the earth could be everywhere else. So, by the way, speaking about missions and this command to go, many kind of get upset when they hear somebody spending thousands of dollars to go on a foreign mission trip, and I hear this way too often. They'll say, well, why would you do that when there's people right here who needs Jesus Christ? It's not an either or, it's a both and. You see, some are called to go. I know if I were over there, I'd want somebody to tell me about Jesus, wouldn't you? And it's cost money to go over there. I've been to at least four or five different countries, Africa being the furthest place away. And I had a joy to go and share Jesus Christ with other people. And if I were over there, I'd want somebody sharing it with me. So anyway, just understand that some are called to do right here, some are called to go to Samaria, some Judea, some to the ends of the earth. So just praise God they're going, amen? And they're telling something exciting that is happening to them. But he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. I was reminded, Rebecca, of another story when I was, I saw it, it didn't happen to me, but you know the preacher, it says, I usually will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I usually don't raise my hand like some preachers, I mean, almost all of them, they raise their hand and then they say, I baptize. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. I'm not knocking it, but it's not a command, okay? So don't get upset if I don't raise my hand, all right? But anyway, this guy, young teenager, had not been coming to church at all, never been raised in church, and he trusted Christ through a youth group. And so they had the baptism that day, and so the preacher, this guy was standing there, you're probably a little nervous, not knowing what's going to happen, and the preacher raises his hand up real high, and the little teenager looked very confused, like, well, what am I supposed to do? So right there in the baptistry, he sees the preacher with his hand up. He just says, well, all right then. And I thought, now, that's a reason to raise my hand, because this is a high-five moment when we trust Christ as our Savior and Lord and we are baptized, okay? Now, the third reason that I believe it's important to be baptized, it simply demonstrates that I really am a believer. It just simply demonstrates what has happened. I'll give you another illustration about that in just a few minutes, but as I've stated, baptism doesn't save you. It's simply an outward profession of an inward experience, an outward profession or an outward demonstration of what's happened already on the inside. Now, let's move to the second question I want to answer. We've said, why should I be baptized? Now, what is the meaning of baptism? Just simply, it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of the verses in the Bible that really talks a little bit about that is Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him. And by the way, when you understand really a deeper meaning of what has happened, I'm not buried with Christ the moment I believe. I'm buried with Christ before I was ever born. I'm buried with Christ if you want to get real, real deep, before the foundation of the world, God saw humanity. He saw you and me in the state, and he knew Adam was going to blow it for all of us. He knew that sin was going to come, and God had this plan. It didn't take God by surprise, by the way, when Adam blew it. He already knew what was going to happen, and he already had this redemptive plan in his mind. And Christ came, and the Bible teaches clearly, and I can give you deeper scripture if you want to study this out, but that humanity was buried with Christ. Humanity was raised with Christ. That doesn't mean that everybody's by faith believed it yet. That doesn't mean that everybody's a Christian yet. But I'm telling you, my believing doesn't make Christ say, okay, now Carlton, you believed in me, now let's go back and let me be buried, let me be raised again. No, it was all done before the foundation of the world. Many of you hadn't heard that before, and I encourage you not to shut it down because that may be it in what you were taught. But I'm telling you, study it out. It makes perfect sense. God, Christ died for everyone, and the Bible says he raised all of us, you see, with him. So it pictures Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Number two, it pictures our new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, if you would watch this carefully. Or are you unaware that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus and were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we may walk in a new life. You see, the good news, when you go to somebody and you go therefore to the ends of the earth, like Matthew 28 says, and you go to them to share with them about Jesus Christ, you can say, hey, God is not mad at you. God has already seen every sin you've ever committed. God has already dealt with that sin on the cross. And by the way, he took your old self and he raised you a new creation in Christ. That is the good news. Will you, by faith, simply believe what God has done for you? That's the good news. It's not about, oh, if you don't, not. There's some denominations that teach, and I wasn't raised under this, but they'll say, well, if you really are Christian, then you'll follow the Lord in baptism. And unless you're providentially hindered, then if you're not baptized, then you're not saved. Folks, I just added to the cross when I said that. I'm just telling you my belief. Any legalism that I had about this has been snatched out from under me the more I understand the finished work of the cross. Now, I do believe that a person will have a desire to be baptized, but if they die before they're baptized and something happens, I'm just telling you that baptism does not save a person. I'm telling you, it's kind of like the Jews were going through back in the early church. They were saying, well, you've got to do something. Well, if there's not a change, there's no salvation. It's not my place to try to figure that out. Quit trying to judge people and look at their behavior. You know, how much change do they have to before they're saved? I'm just telling you how I was raised. I was taught this. Well, if there's no change after salvation in their behavior, then there's no salvation. Well, how much change should occur? You see, I just set myself up to be judged over, well, at least they're not smoking now. They're coming to church. Do you see the ridiculousness of that particular mentality? Folks, let's just focus on Jesus Christ and quit trying to worry about everybody else. and just worry about us, okay? I don't know who that was for. Probably me. Probably me. Okay, number three. It pictures our physical death and our ultimate bodily resurrection. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Once again, baptism doesn't make you a believer. It simply shows that you believe. One of the best illustrations I've seen is about a wedding ring. This wedding ring gives you a clue about something, doesn't it? What does it tell you? That I'm married. Could it be wrong? Could I not be married and have a wedding ring on?
Yes.
The answer is yes. I'll help you with those tough ones. I can put on a wedding ring and I could not be married. I could be trying to, I don't know, usually the men take it off if they're trying to, you know, anyway. That's the message, not about that. But the wedding ring simply is an indication that I am married. It's an outward symbol of a commitment maybe that I've made in my heart. But wearing a wedding ring doesn't make you married, but it does indicate that you are. In the same way, baptism doesn't save you, but it does identify you as a being a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's simply the message about baptism. I do want to take the last part, and it's a lot of scripture, and I hope you'll read it with me, listening attentively. I just really felt impressed to go to the story about the Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible, about where when he had trusted Christ as his Savior, he says, well, there's a puddle of water right there. What forbids me from being baptized right now? So I love that mentality. So I want to read actually chapter 8, starting in verse number 26, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 40. So view us on the screen if you want to follow along with me. But as an angel, this is about the Ethiopian eunuch who believed and trusted Christ. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, now Philip was an evangelist. Philip was one of the ones that had trusted Christ, was called out to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So, and I love how God will suddenly, through a still small voice, through, I believe it's most of the time, the Holy Spirit speaking to us now. Right here it says it was an angel that spoke to him. But have you ever had that nudge just to give somebody something? Maybe that person that's standing on the side of the road. People say all the time, well, I don't think you ought to give to people standing on the side of the road. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, we don't know what's going on with that person. I don't think you ought to give to every person you see either. I think you need to whisper, you see that guy? Or that lady, Holy Spirit, is there something I need to do here? I do that often, and sometimes I feel impressed to give something, and sometimes I don't. So don't just make everything black and white. Well, don't ever do this, and you ought to always do that. Just trust the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what was happening here. Philip was going on his way, but he says he has something, he has further instruction, if you will. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he got up and went. I love that. When the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, just follow his heart. Just follow his heart. I've had the nudge to do something, to say something to somebody, or turn around and go back and help that guy on the road that's broken down. I pray about those two, by the way. And I said, and I didn't do it, and later on I felt guilty for not doing it. But I've learned to try to just do what he says, and I love this. It says he just got up and went. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, so he was high up in the government, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He was the treasurer. He was the banker. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, he evidently had some old scrolls of some of the Old Testament, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah, then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Verse 30, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is what you call a divine appointment. And many of you have had those appointments, when you knew God was leading you to do something, you did get up and go and just obeyed, and God did something very powerful. It's a special time, isn't it? When you just know it's of God, you couldn't have orchestrated that if you tried, right? And it's a God thing, so I love that. But Philip, in verse number 32, now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. He's pointing to the death of Jesus Christ. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth. What a sad picture, isn't it? But what a glorious thing that God did for us. He took our sin upon himself, and he was beaten for it. He was slaughtered. He was cruelly crushed, the Bible says, and hung on a cross, nailed to a cross, with crown of thorns pressed on his head. The Bible teaches that his body was so beaten, so lacerated, that he was unrecognizable as a man. And when I think about the crucifixion of my Lord Jesus Christ, it brings tears to my heart. But on the other side, I know the end of the story. So it also brings joy that Christ took our suffering upon himself. And in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this?" In other words, he was trying to figure out, who's this talking about, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. By the way, when you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to speak to somebody about the Lord or about whatever, many are afraid because they'll say, "Well, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I act foolish? What if they ask me something I don't know? I'm not a preacher. I hadn't been to seminary." By the way, them guys don't know much either, okay? But he opened his mouth. When you just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit is in this thing, you don't have to worry about it. Just preach Jesus to them. That's exactly what it says he did here. He preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian, the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" I love that. I've been in churches and heard of churches and used to do some of this. Nothing wrong with having a class on baptism, but making it a requirement for baptism, I do have a little bit of a problem with that. They didn't have a class here, okay? It says he preached Jesus to them. I don't know how deep. I don't know if he even talked about baptism or not. We don't know the whole story. It just says he preached Jesus to him. And look at verse 37. And Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Boom. There you go. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. We Baptists used to say, now there's where the proof is. You shouldn't be sprinkling them. You should be baptizing them. It says they went down. The word baptized means to take under. This guy that's trying to get off of legalism and not too worried about all that either, so quit worrying about it. That's kind of like that guy. He said, "Well, his arm didn't go under, so therefore it didn't make it to heaven." That's kind of how ridiculous we are about, "Well, you should do this, you should do that," and so forth. I personally like baptism. I think it's closer to what I see in Scripture, so I will go on record, but I'm not freaked out by those that don't do that, okay? Once again, it's all about the finished work of the cross that gets the job done. You can be baptized, as the old preacher said, in every creek in Georgia and every lake till every fish and frog knows you by name. But that has nothing to do with what Christ did for you on the cross. I've had some say, "Well, I was baptized in the Baptist church, started going to a Methodist church, decided to be sprinkled. I just wanted to cover all my bases." And I wanted to say, quit covering your bases. Christ has already covered you. Amen? Just trust him and quit worrying about that. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Now, that's kind of interesting to me. Here, Philip was called to go. And I believe what the Bible says, that there was something miraculous occurred, that he was instantly gone. Very interesting, isn't it? God called him in to make a difference in this guy's life, and he called him away. So it says that he snatched him away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. As I was watching Rebecca up here singing a while ago, to me, what a picture. She knows what's happened. She knows what Christ has done for her, and there's just a joy in that face. Oh, my goodness. Reminds me of a little grandbaby. They're called away and pastoring in Indiana, but I sure miss them. But seeing her reminded me of my little granddaughter right then. But Philip found himself at that A word, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel all the way to the cities as he came into Caesarea. In other words, in Matthew 28, the Greek, as you are going. Go therefore, but the Greek really means as you are going. You don't have to be specifically on a mission trip. You are the church as you are going. We're just to be an on-mission kind of person. In other words, have the mentality, first of all, know who we are in Christ, know what He's done for us, and just simply be open with people and show it in your actions, your attitude. And you can't do that, by the way. You can put on a front for a little while, but I say this all the time. I don't believe the purpose of the church is to go, therefore, and teach and baptize. I believe the purpose of the church is to grow in the grace of God. Study what Peter said right before he died, his last book that he wrote, 2 Peter. He started out the book, I picture this as me being on my deathbed, and I were to give my family some instructions, what would I tell them? I believe this is kind of what Peter is doing. He starts out the book of 2 Peter. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Then look at the last two or three verses. He repeats it. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Why would he say grow in your understanding of Him, what He has done? Don't focus on going. Focus on growing. And guess what? Then going will be a part. Quit trying to. Legalism says, no, you got to stop this, you got to start that, you got to go, you got to witness, you got to read your Bible. And we focus so much on that in the church, in my opinion, when we ought to be focusing on who we are and growing in grace. Now I want to be baptized. Now I want to go and share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody else. Not because I have to. Christ has done it all. I do it out of a want to. I don't preach and come up here and teach because I have to. I could stop tomorrow and God will be just fine on me. Because you see, He's fine with me because of what Jesus did, not for what I do for Him. That might be a good word for somebody who's struggling. Devil will use the law on you. He'll rip you up one side down the other. You know, you're serving in the church. Well, is that all you're going to do? Have you seen old John? He's on this committee. He's witnessing. He's going on mission trips. Have you watched? You see, Paul warned about that too, comparing yourselves with other people. Don't go down that road. Focus on Jesus. You'll know what to do. People ask me all the time, well, how do I know what I'm to be doing? I said, just keep focusing on Him. God is loud enough to speak and get your attention to tell you what to do. Get your focus off of doing and get it on being, and the doing will flow out of your being. Amen, Carlton. That's a good word. All right. Rebecca, I got a special video just for you. And the others can watch if they want to. And they probably will understand it with you, okay? It's actually a little video, an animated video about this story, the Philippian and meeting Philip. So, and then after that, they'll go prepare for baptism while you have a good time. Just don't run off while they're preparing for baptism, and we'll come right back and baptize them.